Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Howdy.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about why sticking to your acquisition criteria is so incredibly important. We've talked about it before. This is kind of a new take on it based on some things.
Me.
Jill. Before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Brian asks, who is responsible for closing costs, and does it vary state by state? And if so, where can I get a list of the breakdowns?
Well, Brian, this is a great question, and this is how it works. The basic response for closing costs in any real estate deal, every real estate deal, is you split it right down the middle. Title insurance is usually purchased and paid for by the person who's selling the property, and on behalf, they kind of pay for it for the new owner. But the taxes get prorated down the middle. And everything else kind of gets prorated or split up. Now, I'm grossly oversimplifying, but that's the short answer. There's no closing costs if you're purchasing the property through not through escrow, right? You have to sign a couple of notaries. There's some notary cost and a doc prep cost, which the buyer almost always provides. But this is the kind of detail, I think, and I'm pretty sure Jill will agree. Mm-hmm. You do not want to get wrapped up in.
Right.
What you want to do is make it so easy for them to sign your offer that they do. So we always price it where we always say, hey, we're going to pay for everything. We want to buy your property for $4,000, and we are going to make it like you're buying a pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not $4,013. It's not $4,300. It's $4,000. That's an amount you get. We're not going to stick you with something at the end.
Or even say, hey, I'm going to buy your property for, $4,000 plus whatever fees it costs for me to close and transfer it and all that good stuff.
Mm-mm. Right.
I'm going to roll that all in. They don't need to know the recording fee costs this and the notary costs that. And, I had to go get a cashier's check and it cost me an extra $5, whatever it is. You're gonna factor all that in and just make it super easy for them.
Exactly. Is there a state by state kind of guideline? Nope. It's exactly unless there may be a few exceptions out there, but no. What ends up happening is an escrow agent, if you go through them, or an attorney, they fill out a HUD-1. It's called a form HUD-1, HUD/1. And at the end, of every transaction, when it's about to close, they say, okay, you own, you owe Brian $42,332.21. Well, what the heck is in that number, right? You look at the HUD-1 to find out, well, the purchase price was $40,000, the title and escrow cost this amount, there's this much money. It's all on a HUD-1. So it's very, very simple. Go on a success plan, because I see here that you're a silver level member already.
Mm-hmm.
And ask Luke Smith for a copy of a HUD-1, or even ask, I'll try to have maybe dig one out and get one, post one up there so everybody can see, because this is a really good question. It's a good basic question. Jill and I maybe have 10,000 HUD-1s laying around.
You know what? Brian probably has one in the program. I wonder if we put that, remember we put a bunch of data in the back? He might have some in there. I can't remember. But you can Google it too. I'm actually looking at one right now. And you look at it, it's...
Google it. What the heck?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm actually looking at one. Anyone who's ever, another thing that's really kind of cool is, this is one of the advantages of, in your spare time. But if you ever sit through some real estate classes, they go into great detail on that. And that was one of the things that I liked. I'm obviously not a licensed realtor. I don't want to be, but I went through the whole education. Jack and I both did. Just good knowledge to have. And they go into great detail, you know, what each item is and why one's on the left side of the page, one's on the right side of the page. If you remember that, Jack, it's kind of split because you're right, because they're splitting up the costs of all the different things. And so there you go. It's just good knowledge to have. And you know what? Once you take a look at that, and, you know, there's some of that stuff's so much fluff. There's a reason why we try not to do that. Does that make sense?
The first time I read a HUD one, I'm like, what the heck is this?
Why am I paying a courier? And why am I paying this fee? And why am I paying that fee?
There's FedEx fees in there. There's title plant fees and silly.
Coffee for the escrow agent fees. I'm like, come on.
I mean, Look, we started Land Academy and now Land Investors, and it's wildly popular for a reason. All of us are sick of the way that real estate deals are getting done. All right, we're spending way, way, way too much money to sell a house, buy a house, sell a piece of land, buy a piece of land. And if you aren't sickened by how much it costs to sell a house in the 21st century, then this is not, not the show for you. We are devising all these workarounds because none of it's mandatory. Just like it's not mandatory to buy a car in a dealership. You know, if you're the kind of person who wants to avoid all those destination charges, it's the same thing. All that malarkey, this is the show for you. It's not required. It's all convenience.
Who came up with a destination charge, and why do I have to pay it? Just because your dealership happens to be here and the car came from there. You know, that's the craziest thing.
Right. It should be. You know, Saturn, the car company, had they're probably out of business for a reason, but you know, for a long time, it was the stick. There was no negotiating it, and there was no disclosure. You walk into the dealership and you buy the car for $15,000, and that's it.
Yeah,
and I like that.
I do too.
You know, there's several car companies. Most of them are foreign. They don't even have dealerships. Tesla doesn't have a dealership. You just ordered a car online, and that's how it should be. I think they just deliver it to you. But whatever, that's a different topic. Today's topic, well, if you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landinvestors.com. Today's topic is why sticking to your acquisition criteria is so important. This is the meat of the show. Why is it, Jill? And what is your acquisition criteria, by the way?
Oh, it changed right now. What it is today is not what it was a year ago or 2 years ago or even a week ago. My acquisition criteria changes all the time. But I started with one simple acquisition criteria, and I kept that till I learned what I was doing. So that's it. So what is your acquisition criteria? What does this even mean? What it is what are you looking to buy? What are you seeking out right now? Okay, so you're new in this business, and you've done all your research.
Let's say you're not.
Let's say you're not new.
Let's say you flip 14 houses a month.
Okay.
And you're just learning now that if you send letters to everybody, what would you do if you're that kind of person?
So I flip 14 houses a month, and they're all kind of 3-2 or 4-2, 3 or 4-bedroom, 2-bath kind of thing. Is that what you're saying, Jack? Okay.
Yeah.
So this is
so now you're starting down the path of what your acquisition criteria is.
Yeah. So that's my acquisition. So I'm telling you, I flipped that. That's my criteria right now. Cause I know this area, I know the zip code, I know this market, I know what I can usually buy them for. I know what I can usually repair, you know, fix them up for, and I know what I can sell them for. So that's my criteria. Are you asking if I'm going to change my criteria? What are you asking? Or are you asking me if something new comes along, an apartment building lands in my lap? What do I do? Seriously.
Am I asking you?
Well, that's
my point is, my new fresh take on this topic is, I think you already know what your acquisition criteria is anyway, and you want to stick to it. So if you're already in the business and you're already turning a few deals here and there and you're looking at stuff and it's like, man, this is really working out good. I've been doing it now for a while. How can I get it to the next level? Well, I think you need to really, really, really disassemble or review the best types of properties that work for you on the acquisition and the sales side. Make that your acquisition criteria and then go after it.
And it can change.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, and it can change. So my whole point is, wherever you are in this business, when you're looking for something, don't cast too wide of a net, because all you're going to be doing is it's just going to make more work and hassle for you. But if you focus on a niche, like, all right, I'm looking for this type of property, period. Be specific. I think it's much, much, much easier. And then as you go along, so you know what? I did really well with this property type in this area. You're going to either now change the area or change the property type. You know what I mean? Don't change too much at one time, because I just watch people getting too, spreading themselves too thin, and you run the risk of making mistakes, and because you don't know that area that you're just, you know what I mean? You're taking on too much at one time. Let it be gradual. Does that make sense?
Complete sense. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So let's say you're brand new. So and you've... Wait, are you trying to not do new people or do new people? I don't know.
No, it's okay. I just, the vast majority of the people that I talk to now are not brand new.
Uh-huh. All right.
So you already know your guy acquisition criteria. That's what I think. You already know.
Okay. All right. Well, how about this? My whole topic was why it's important. So are you disagreeing with me? Do you think it's not important?
To focus on, to stick to your acquisition criteria?
Uh-huh.
No, I think it's imperative that
okay,
you
cool.
know what your acquisition criteria is and then stick to it. And then, but then be a little bit flexible as you go based on the way property is selling. That's my whole point.
Okay.
When you're brand spanking new, what you really want to do is, which we talk about way too much on this show, you want to buy property as cheap as you can in one subsection type, like let's say 10-acre properties in one county, and sell it for more. You want to buy it for 100, 200, however you price it, at 20 to 30% of retail. Get some stuff under your belt. Get some deals under your belt. And then really define what you want to do, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And so you and I are both saying the same thing. No matter where you are in your career, just have a criteria, you know, and be picky, and seek out those fantastic deals, and everything else will kind of fall into place, I guess. You know, like you and I, even right now, some of the transactions that we're working on, they landed in my lap and they're too good to pass up. Those will happen. You're going to be cruising along buying 40s and dividing them. And the next thing you know, a mobile home park falls in your lap, and you're gonna jump on that. And
you know, this is a brilliant example on your part. If somebody came to me right now and said, "I have the greatest apartment deal that there ever was right now," I mean today, and they said, "All I need is $100,000. We're gonna make $1 million in this thing." You know what I would say? Thanks, but I pass.
You just don't like apartment complexes.
And that's not the case.
Oh.
I love all kinds of real estate.
Why do you say no? I mean,
because the amount of money and the amount of time that it would take for me to relearn all the players in the apartment industry and all this other stuff, I would just say no. I would lose money in the time that it would take to do that deal. Mm-hmm. And all that's involved, I would lose money. I will make more than $900,000 buying and selling land.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important to stick to an acquisition criteria, because you waste time.
It's true.
There's a lot of deals and a lot of data that you could analyze and deals that you could do that, mm-hmm. you know, it's just too time consuming, I think.
That's where I was going, because it pulls you away from what you know and what you're working on, and it's fresh in your mind right now.
Right.
It does. So
join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me,
and inspiration, that's me,
to get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You're not alone in your real estate ambition. No, I think we're both coming toward that concept, from a different angle. And I think it's good. It's good. It's healthy.
Well, you know, it's funny. We each catch ourselves going off on different directions, and I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but it seems like it's you more than me. you just have your hands in so many different things, which is really a compliment. So you'll come to me with, oh my gosh, you got to look at this. This is what's going on. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I thought this was our criteria right now, you know, and I'm being sincere, and you will say, yeah, but we really have to look at this, you know, right. And I get it. And it's, you know, it's good. So, but it does take time, you know, it's good. And that's why I wanted to let everybody know, you know, I guess that's it. The whole point is, if you don't stick to your acquisition criteria, this is what could happen. You could waste some time and you know, potentially cost, you know, it costs money. Your time is money. And so you got to think about that stuff.
Exactly. Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.